Well, last time, y'all may not remember, you didn't hear me at all. So I think we've adjusted it pretty up a little. Now I can just speak in my normal voice. Can y'all hear me okay now? All right. Praise the Lord. Well, it's been a while since I've done this, but I never received the call of God to be a preacher. But we all have that call in our life to serve in the times when you're needed. And I was needed this week. Some pastor could take a vacation with his family. And got a good report from Stephanie that they had mainly good weather today and yesterday. Talked to Dawn. Walt, you have first-hand report on that? They did good? Uh-oh. All right, I do have a word for the church tonight. Prayed about it, and just need to have his equipping and energy to give me the power to do it. Amen. Amen. So before we get started, let's pray and ask the Lord to just be with us here tonight. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for this time we have to come in the middle of the week, Lord, to hear the word of God, Lord, to have a time to pray, Lord, and to fellowship with one another, Lord. That's what the church is about, Lord. We pray that you'll be with us here tonight. Meet with us, Lord, we pray. Use me, Lord, as your vessel to bring the word tonight. And I just pray that you give me the ability, Lord, to do that. Thank you, Father, that you're here in our midst, Lord, and I pray that you, Lord, will accomplish what you intend to do tonight, Father. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We're going to be in probably, if not the shortest book in the Bible, it's going to be pretty close to it. Book of 2 John. It's one of those, if you wanted to, while you're sitting in the line at the bank or something like that, if you had your Bible with you, you could probably read 2 John while you were waiting. It's just a small letter. Interesting, when John wrote this letter to 2 John, John the Apostle wrote it. And one reason that the letter was so short is he intended it to fit on one page of parchment paper, rolled up, and then it would go by courier from where he was at in Ephesus over to the people that John was addressing this letter to. So he wrote it on that one piece of paper, but he put everything that God wanted him to say in there in just concise words. Full of the wisdom of God tonight, so we'll be able to go through a portion of it that the Lord wants us to. If you'd stand, if possible, while we read the Word of God, then we'll. 2 John. We're going to start in verse 1, and we're going to go through verse 6, book of 2 John. The elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all they that have known the truth. For the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever, grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. In verse 4, I rejoiced greatly that I found of thy children walking in the truth as we have received a commandment from the Father. And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word, and we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we have to listen to it again, Father. And I pray that you do a work in our lives, Lord, from this short message tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, it's a short message, but it's got a lot of truth that we can apply to our life. Starting in verse 1. The elder, in verse 1, the Apostle Paul, he says, the elder. Now, he was 90 years old. He was the last surviving apostle. All the others had died for their faith in some way or another. And Paul and the other apostles are all gone from the scene. John is the last one left as far as the early fathers of the church. And he's known as the elder, mainly because of his age, but also as an elder in those days. You know, he was active in the ministry of Jesus Christ. He walked with Jesus, and in the early church that they formed, he would have been an elder as an officer of the early church. So he was sort of wearing two hats there as he wrote this letter. And he was recognized by the house churches all across Asia Minor and wherever John was at, that he was a person of authority, the last man that had walked with Jesus. And he used that authority that he had to try to keep the churches actively serving the Lord and bringing the word to the people that were coming. It was a very difficult time in the life of the early church. There was a group of people called Gnostics that were coming out, and they were saying that Jesus was not who he was presented to be. It was a terrible false teaching in the early church, and John was standing against it the best he could. And one of these things, he was writing a letter, this short letter to a lady, and it says again in verse 1, "The elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not only, but all they that have known the truth." As we look at this tonight, we'll be looking at the truth. And if you have a Scofield version of the Bible, you'll see that it talks about the pathway of truth and love. You know, truth is, there's a lot of different ideas about what truth is. What one thing in this universe that we know is absolutely true? It's the Word of God. It's without error from front to back. When the Jewish people were writing it in the Hebrew language, they had the little dots and tittles and everything, and all of that was translated into the English. If that translation was made properly, we have the exact Word of God here in our hand tonight, even though it's in an English Bible. So it's absolutely true. And we can take that truth to heart and understand that when we come to church, an inexperienced person like myself as far as preaching, as long as he's preaching out of the Word of God and he's giving it to you, it's the truth, and we can apply it to our lives in a way that God can work in our life. Aren't you glad that is how it is? Unfortunately, it is in some congregations around our country that people come and they leave and they may not get a good sermon from the Bible. They might get somebody's opinion, but as long as we come from the Word, you're coming from the truth. And it's the elect lady and her children. There's been a lot of different discussion about who is the elect lady. There's two, and people are still the people that are historians and things in the Bible say that there's either two things, and both of them could be true, or neither one could be true. An individual Christian woman, when it says to the lady, it could be a woman that was pious, was influential, and he was writing a letter to her to encourage her about the truth and love and the different things that needed to be taught to her. So here in this, that's what he was talking about. The elder was John, and the woman was either an elderly lady also, but she was more than likely it's just a name for, when he says the lady, that was an early church, that was the congregation, and the members of the church would be what we're going to see here in a second. Let me read verse 2. "For truth's sake, which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever, if we know the truth, where does the truth reside in our life? In our heart. The Holy Spirit seals it into our heart. Amen. And the truth and love, the love that we have for one another, are inseparable. You can't separate the two. Without the truth, there is no love. When people come in to a Sunday school class, to a church service, a sermon, a Bible study, as you gather around the table, or if you come and sit down in the pews, if in the congregation of believers that you have, if they come together without having a desire for the truth, an understanding of that the Bible is the truth, they may not be able to ever really understand what the love that the Lord has for us, for each other. My experience here at New Hope goes back a long way. I remember, as do some of you, that New Hope has always been a church that has a strong desire to love in the way that the Lord would have us to do it. It's not something that you can just stir up. It's something that God gives you, because what God is true. God doesn't lie. We know all those things are true. So what is the truth? There are three things that we can write down in our hearts and say we know it's true. One is that the body of revealed truth, the Scriptures. If you want to know what's true, open the Bible, read and see, and you'll find the truth. There are no errors at all, as we've already discussed. Nothing in the Bible is an error. It's without error and completely. So the body of revealed truth, the Scriptures. There's another thing, though, that we, as living in the time that we do, we understand that the truth of who Jesus is, the Lord Jesus Christ, He is truth incarnate. When He was born, He was born the Son of God. The blood of God flowed in His veins, and He was a truth incarnate. In John chapter 1, verse 14, John chapter 1, verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So, if, you know, and some of you have a red-letter Bible where Jesus is talking, and we understand that when He's talking, He is truth. He's the Logos. He's the Word of God. So we know it's absolutely true, and there's no mixture of error with anything that the Lord says. And one of the biggest problems we have, I think, in our country today is people are wondering, what is true? They're chasing after things. Let's ask another question about the truth. What's true in the time, and I'm asking a question, this is almost like a Bible study. What is true today? Was it true 100 years ago? In the previous generation of people? Was it true 1,000 years ago in the truth that we have today? Was it true 2,000 years ago? So the truth itself, the truth we're talking about here, is the truth that God has given us. So if we read the Scripture today, no one can say that is out of date, and we don't have to live by that anymore. Is that right? The truth of God is true. So if the politicians and the Supreme Court are all fighting about an issue or this issue or that without getting into politics, they may come up with, okay, this is what's true, but does it line up with the Word of God? If it doesn't line up, it's not true, because only God gives us the truth in His Word. And what we see here in our scriptures tonight is that there's a connection between being able to love in the way that the Lord would have us to love in the truth. And if we're gonna ever do that, to be able to, as a father, to love your children the way God would have you to do, we need to be a father that knows what God says about what the expectations of a father is, about a man is, about a citizen, the different things that makes a man a man. It's not big muscles working out, being able to run, do all those things. That's a manly thing in our culture. But a true man is not measured by any of those things. A true man is measured by his relationship with the Lord, as far as in the economy of God is concerned. So people lining up to be president, all the politics and everything, and we're going to hear all kinds of things. But remember, the Lord is the one that gives us the truth, and we need to filter these things through all these voices that we'll be hearing for the next 2 years, and pray that God will give us a man that treasures the Word of God and builds his beliefs and the things that he'll try to lead us to do on the Word of God. That would be what would be a blessing for us. There's only one authority in our life, and that is the Bible. It's the only authority for living our life and for doctrine. You know, if I would have came in here tonight with a book from a well-known Christian author and opened this book and started reading out of it to y'all, I think a lot of people would be talking right now to each other. What's that? That's not the Bible. That's because only the Bible is something that we can use for doctrine. We can teach out of. In Sunday school and training union and Bible studies, you may have a book that will guide you to the scriptures, and then we'll talk about it. And we've done that before. But what it all goes back to always is, what does God say? What does the Bible say? What is the truth? You know, it's really daunting in our life. It's one of those things that we cannot go past. If we're struggling to live a Christian life and we haven't got into the Word to say, what does God say? It's like trying to drive to a city or a town in North Carolina that you've never been to, and you're just going to drive to North Carolina and look for it. You're trying to look for the path of your life without a map. And there's only one map that's dependable. It's the Word of God. And here in my stumbling way to present it, I'm trying to do that by looking at these scriptures here and 2 John. So let's if we know the truth, and if we love the truth, we will also love those who know and love the truth. Have you noticed that when you're around Christian men and Christian women, there's sort of a bonding of your spirit with theirs? That's what that was. It's that. If we know and love the truth, we will also love those who know and love the truth. So in the letter to the lady, again getting back to the lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all they that have known the truth, all those that love the Word of God and love the Bible and love the Lord and all those things, will find it to be where your hearts will knit together, because you have that common love together for the Lord and His Word. You know, one thing that said, well, then how do I know the Word? Y'all may remember, it was several months ago, right before our revival, Brother Stephen preached a message, and I wrote these three things down, and it's what we need to do when you go into a revival, and the Lord said, Mike, you need to get into the Word. You need to get in the Word and find out more about me, you know. And all of us have heard that voice. Mike, you're not reading the Bible enough. Or and then you put your name in there if that's you. So the pastor said in a revival, when you go into the revival, you want to do these things. One, you want to saturate yourself with the Word of God. Find a time in the morning, maybe when you get up, if you're retired or something, instead of going in there and getting a cup of coffee and turning the TV on and watching the news, spend 30 minutes reading a chapter in the Bible. It'll start your day off good. It'll give you a hunger for the Word of God. And if we would do things like that, saturate yourself. Maybe that just that one time a day to work. And God can make it work in our life to when we touch the Word and we read it, and it starts our day in a way that a cup of coffee and a donut won't do. It gives you real food for your soul. The other thing after we saturate is meditate. You know, a lot of times if we read real fast and we don't, maybe all we need to read is two or three verses, you know, and see what God said through that. And then meditate on what God has to say. There's a verse that, if anybody ever asked me what my favorite verse is, I usually say this one. It might be yours too. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. There's some word in that Bible for each person in here tonight. Maybe there's a weakness in your life that God will expose, and you're going to hide that word, expose it to you. And you know that that's a stronghold in your life. You say, I need power in that area of my life, Lord. And the Word of God is powerful. And you get that, and you read it a few times, however many times it takes, and you memorize that thing. And when it says hid, you're not hiding that word somewhere where you can't find it. It's like having a file cabinet, and you put it under my things that I need to know. And whenever it comes up, it'll come back to you like that. Maybe it's any of the common sins of man. Maybe it's something that only you and God know, and it's something that's inside your heart right now. And He can take care of it. That's the power of the Word of God. So, but what really, get back to the message here now, I guess, what really bonds people together like glue, and one reason that here at New Hope, I think when it's raining, you know, you come in and you say, well, we're going to have a pretty low crowd, not many people are going to show up today. You think, boom, you got a house full of people. But so, you know, I was thinking, well, not very many people are going to come tonight probably because I'm preaching. If the word got out, we got a good crowd of people. And God can use that, can't He? Amen. I thank Him. But what binds us together? Getting back. Plug for Sunday school. If you go to Sunday school, we went through a series about the things that hold us together like glue. And I tell you, something that can hold us together like glue is the love that God has given us for each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. There was a whole list of things in that Sunday school lesson that we could do. We could encourage one another. We could serve one another and all the different things that hold us together. But what holds us together? The truth of the Word. I mean, if the truth wasn't there, it wouldn't last very long. This isn't a PTA meeting or anything. This is, and we have precious promises of God that when we come together into His house, wherever two or three are meet together, I'm in their midst. So we know that the Lord is with us here tonight, and He's here to empower if He chooses to do that. Verse 2. For
for the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. So we've already decided that the truth doesn't change and it dwells within us. So once it comes, the truth, the love for the Lord, the love for Scripture, the love that God gives us for His Word, it dwells in us and it shall be with us forever. Does the truth change? No. It's always the thing. How long will the truth last? Forever. When we go to heaven, the truth will be there with the incarnate truth. Jesus will be there. Truth will last forever. How many people think that truth changes? I remember when I worked for a school district, and I was walking down the hallway one day in the administration building, and they had a contest where all the kids for the rodeo had their artwork, and they had it all the way down the hallway. And I was going by people, beautiful pictures of horses and all that artwork, you know. And I stopped, and there was an orchid. It was just like somebody took a picture of it. And I looked below it, and I saw, if you want to turn there, Isaiah chapter 40, and that's a word about the Word of God and how long it's going to last. And it's something that can be Isaiah chapter 40, verse 6 through 8. And this junior high age girl wrote on there, verse 8, "The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever." Isn't that good? But you know, right before that in verse 6 and 7, something that we need to remember. The voice said, "Cry," in verse 6. And he said, "What shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but it's because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass." You know, if we live to be 100 years old, we're still grass that withers. So the Word of God lasts forever, but we have a slice of time in this life that when we're here to experience the love that God has for us, to experience the knowledge of the Word that God has for us. And He wants us to be busy about that. See what God says. Apply it to your life and see how things can change in your life. Man, just so many of in my experience is some of the things that when I came out of the service, I saw God start working in my life, opened my eyes. He opened my eyes. And that's talking about verses that you can hide in your heart. "Thy word I've hid in my heart," right? "That I might not sin against you." But in Psalms 1, let me turn to it. I'm not a polished preacher, so y'all can forgive me when I have to turn the pages because that's the only way I know how to do it. In Psalm 119, I think it's you know, I was talking to you about in the morning or whenever you have that time to open the Word. Verse 18, Psalm 119. It's a good verse to memorize and to say it before you start reading. "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." You know, if we just, I've done my Bible reading for the day. But if we go into it with, "Lord, open my eyes that I may observe something today." And when you do that, God may even put you on the right page. You know, you don't have to start in Genesis 1. You can start over in Philippians or another book like that. Read it. Open your heart and ask the Lord to help me to understand what you have for me today. He'll certainly do it. He'll certainly do it. And then the truth will dwell in us as we memorize and saturate our life with it. In verse 3, there's a beautiful salutation here. And now I turned away from it. I'm nervouser than I thought I'd be. Is that a word, nervouser? Okay. 2 John verse 3. Grace be with you, and mercy and peace from God the Father. In this letter, he was writing a blessing to the lady, either to the church or to that lady that he was writing the letter to. And he said, grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father. And he added something to it that some of the letter writers didn't. He said, and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. Truth and love go hand in hand together. And he's praying that. And actually, this is a prayer that he probably, as he was penning that, he wrote. Let's go to verse 4. And I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth as we have received a commandment from the Father. This verse 4, 5, and 6 is the pathway of truth and love. If these three verses, 4, 5, and 6, if we apply those into our life and the Holy Spirit activates that word in our life, and He can do that, amen. And when He does that, we can see that this will bring us to an understanding of truth and love and those things that the Spirit can do in our life. I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth. I rejoiced greatly. You know, when a pastor sees a member of the church, any church, if he's a pastor that has got a heart for people, love for people, if he sees somebody that one day the light of Christ came into his life and he or she became a new person, and you saw him that somebody that was probably on the road to hell was at a new destination, and just what a joy that would be. And here John said, I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth as we have received a commandment from the Father. We need to obey what God says, and that's a commandment that he gives us, to be obedient to the Word. If we look back just a little bit into 1 John chapter 2, verse 24. This is King James Bible. It's not the language we use today too much, especially around here. But let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye shall also continue in the Son and in the Father. Don't forget what you've learned. Apply it to your life and meditate on it. And what it is saying that when the Word, which is the bond between truth and love, when that bond is there, some of the biggest problems people have in relationships, I think Brother Stephen talked about this recently. Maybe you said something and you didn't mean it, and after you said it, you done did it, and then it's too late, and you've broken a friendship that you've had for 20 years. Maybe that person will turn around and walk away, and you've never have an opportunity to undo what you said. Relationships with people. Now, if we're a believer, we understand that truth and love go hand in hand, right? And it's a reciprocal thing. Something as simple as saying something that you didn't mean to say, there's two people that understand that, that we're not perfect. But applying that truth to our life in love, the Christian love that God has for us, our life will be a lot more peaceful, a lot more constructive. How many of y'all have said something stupid this week? We all do, don't we? And it's, if we love people, maybe we even said it, right? And then what are we supposed to do? Oh, I should have done that. Whoa, forgive me. I don't know what I was thinking about saying something like that. And there's so many things that can get in the way of us doing that. But to walk in the truth is... And verse 5, and now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. You know, John chapter 13, verse 35, reading from the words of Jesus. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one to another. 1 John chapter 4, verse 20. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? You know, that's a challenge for us, isn't it? You can only do that by locking the truth in your heart, knowing that that's wrong, and that God will give you the power to love as he wants you to. In 1 John 4:21, in this commandment we have from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. We're to love one another. But this is the pathway to truth and love. How do we do that? Here's the pathway. It's to follow after the Lord and do the things he tells us to do. In verse 6, and this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment that, as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it. You know, if we love God, we will obey his commandments. It's as simple as that. If we truly have a love for him, a true love for him, there's going to be commandments that are difficult, but they're not heavy burdens. The Bible tells us that. We know that God knows best for us. There's some things that we may want to bow our neck on or to rebel against, but by obeying what God says and walking in what he wants us to do, we'll find out that he always knows what's best for us. You know, truth and love. Down here, because I'm not looking at my Bible notes now. I'm just going to speak a little bit from my heart about that. You know, the truth. Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." That's what is truth. Jesus' answer was, "Thy word is truth." Are we hungry for the truth? And if we are, we need to get in the Word. The Word will teach us what is true, because everything in the Bible is true. There's no lies or no anything in there that is not true. We can do that. Jesus said, "Thy Word is truth." We can start in the New Testament. We can start anywhere you want to in the Bible. It's all true. You apply that to your life, and when you make the application, that's where the rubber meets the road, so to speak. But then you know there's one problem. For you to apply the truth of your life, you need something that we don't have in our own. We don't have the power to do that. If you're here tonight and you're saved, you've confessed that Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior of your life. If you've done that, He's given you the power to read the truth, to apply those truths to your heart, and to walk out of this place tonight or whenever that day comes that you say, I'm going to do it, and you commit yourself to following what Christ said, then you can do it. If you've never made that commitment to the Lord, through the blood of Christ, He died on the cross for us, that you want to become a Christian, you want to be able to apply the truth to your life, you want to be able to live a life that's pleasing to God, you want to live a life that's pleasing to your family, you want to be a daddy, a mama, whatever you want to be, an aunt, you want to be one that is something that would please God, you can do that. You can come tonight and ask for that relationship with the Lord, and it's not easy, because God will do it for you. It's nothing that is more than recognizing your need for a Savior and a Lord in your life. If this is the time you want to do that, Wednesday night, even if there was only three people here, we that would be something that would be appropriate. So the invitation is always open here at New Hope. I'm not your pastor, but I can talk to you about Jesus. Amen? So if that's something you want to do, because to apply the truth to your life, you need to have the Holy Spirit, and He'll come into your life, and He'll change everything. He'll make you new. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, He will make you a new creation. You will be born again. Old things are passed away, and all things have become new. You do that through the power of God, and it's Him doing that. Remember that. If you want to wait for the pastor to come, if this tonight's the night to do that, we never want to say, well, this isn't a good time because the preacher's not here. And I just felt I shouldn't do that, to make that invitation. Okay. Man, you know what? Not being a preacher, I don't know how to end. That's a good idea. Let's pray, and then we'll open it up for prayer requests. Father, we thank You, Lord, for this time we've had tonight, Lord, to open the Bible, Lord. We thank You for the truth that's in the Word, Lord. We thank You that we can build our lives on it, Father. We pray You give us understanding, Lord. Give us a hunger for Your Word, Lord, in those times of the day, Lord, when we find ourselves wondering what we're going to do, maybe realize that hunger to read Your Word and do it, Father. Again, we thank You for that. Lord, we pray, Lord, for Your blessings on our life. Thank You for our church, Lord. And just pray for Your guidance in our life. Pray for the pastor and his family as they're on vacation, Lord. I pray keep him safe, Lord, and bring him back, Lord, refreshed, ready, Lord, to get back to serving You. We ask it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Do we have any prayer requests tonight? Yes, Carol.